Singing. We're going to open the Word of God together tonight, and we're opening our Bibles in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and the chapter is the chapter number 8. That is Acts of the Apostles, and the chapter 8. We want to follow the reading of God's precious and God's infallible and God's holy Word. Let's read together from Acts chapter 8 some verses of God's infallible truth. Amen. Acts chapter 8, and we'll commence reading there at the verse number 1. Verse number 1 of that chapter, Acts 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death, that was unto the death of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Amen. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his word, short reading. Just let's bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word this evening. And we pray that thou will help us now to meditate upon this book. Thy precious, thy infallible, thy inspired word. Lord, we believe that with all our hearts, that this is thy precious and infallible book. Lord, I pray that thou will take of the word tonight, and Lord, that thou will write it upon our hearts. We pray that of their stubborn hearts, that thou will break them. We pray that our God, that thou will take of thy word and write thy word upon the fleshly tables of our hearts, that this night we might hear thy voice. We're thinking about that this morning. My sheep hear my voice. O God, may men and women, saved and unsaved, may they hear the voice of God tonight, calling them unto thyself. Lord, answer prayer. Glorify thy name. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for his glory. Amen. Some years ago, a young man was talking to his family and his friends that God had called him to be a preacher. When the young man had walked away from the family and friends that he was talking to, one of them was heard to say, "What a pity. What a pity to throw away your life." And friend, that's the judgment of the world. That if a person was called to be a preacher of the word, that you're throwing away your life. Lloyd George was a prime minister of the United Kingdom during the First World War. Lloyd George said this. He said, "When the chariot of humanity gets stuck, nothing lifts it out except great preaching that goes straight to the mind and to the heart." And friend, preaching is God's ordained plan to reach the lost humanity around us. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." J.C. Ryle was a bishop in the Church of England. J.C. Ryle said, "I warn everyone who loves a soul to be jealous as to the preaching he regularly hears and the place of worship he regularly attends. He who deliberately settles down under a ministry that is unsound is a very unwise man. If false doctrine is preached in a church, a man who loves a soul is not right in going to that church." Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, "The most urgent need in the Christian church today is true preaching. And as it is the greatest and most urgent need
of the church. It is obvious that the greatest need, it is the greatest need of the world also. Preaching the word of God. Now I want us to look at that tonight, because the Bible tells us about the subject of preaching. The word of God tells us that before the flood, that Noah was a preacher. He was a preacher of righteousness. And for 120 years, Noah preached. And the only ones that were saved was his family. But thank God, a preacher loves to see his family brought in to the fold of God. And through his faithful testimony, whilst it was true that was through his preaching, his family were saved, but also through his preaching, the antediluvian world was condemned. Hebrews 11, verse 7. The word of God tells us in the book of Romans, in the chapter number 10, and we know the verse, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Then it asks this question. "And how then shall they call on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except to be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace." I read this week as I was studying for this message tonight, some years ago, and there was a Lutheran church in Siberia. And for some 40 years, that church was without a preacher. And finally, after 40 years, a preacher came into the place of Siberia. The people gathered round him. And immediately the people, as they flocked around him, they said these words to him, "Preacher, take your Bible and preach to us." And that's all they wanted. "Take your Bible and preach to us." And that preacher stood on a makeshift pulpit, and let me tell you, he preached for one solid hour, but the people would not move. He preached for 2 hours, but the people would not move. He preached for 3 hours, let me tell you, my friend, and the people would not move. And they wouldn't let the preacher off that makeshift pulpit after 3 hours. And in the fourth hour, his voice broke down and he had to finish. Let me tell you tonight, preach 30 minutes and you preach any more, people, yes, they're moved. They moved the wrong way. Then there's something wrong. There's something wrong in the hearts of God's people. That because why did those people stay on? Because they were hungry. They were hungry for the word. The sad reality is that many of God's people are no longer hungry for the word. Well, they spend hours talking about everything else and everybody else. They don't spend long around the word of God. Paul said to young Timothy before he was taken out to die, he said this, Timothy, you do this, young man, preach the word. Preach the word. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1, it tells us John the Baptist was, he preached. He preached. In Mark's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 14, it says Jesus came what doing? Preaching. He was a preacher. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it says, Paul preached. Paul preached unto them. Somebody said to Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, they called him. Somebody said to Spurgeon, "You know, Mr. Spurgeon, all your sermons sound alike." Mr. Spurgeon said, "That's right. You're dead right." He says, "I take my text, no matter where it is in the Bible," and he says, "I make a beeline for the cross." And friend, let me tell you, the message that is to be preached is one that's the same yesterday. Thank God it's the same today. And thank God it'll stand the test forever.
And I trust with all my heart that every time the preacher steps into this pulpit, that there will be those in the congregation that will hold the ropes of prayer and say, Oh God, I ask of thee in Jesus' name, give the preacher power to preach. That people will not sit down and settle down to sleep, but people will hear thy word. John Wesley advises young preachers that says this. He says, young men, put fire in your sermons, or put your sermons in the fire. And that's good advice. Another preacher said, preacher, preach for a verdict and expect it. For God will honor your faith with souls. I want us to come tonight in this thought of preaching. I want us to come tonight and ask this question. What was the substance? Because we need to get to the heart. What was the substance of the New Testament church? The substance of their preaching. Because we need to get back to it. The Bible tells us that in the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were added to the church. Let me tell you, in Ulster, there are not 3,000 souls added to the church in a year. Today, we're living in dryness, barrenness. And then the Word of God says, not only were 3,000 souls added to the church in that day of Pentecost, but the Lord added to the church, listen to the next word, daily. Such as should be seen. Friend, what was their secret? What was the substance of the message that they were preaching that God mightily used? And I believe tonight that I can give you four simple thoughts of the substance of what they preached in the Acts of the Apostles. I took my Bible, you know, when God wrote this upon my heart, the subject for preaching. And I went through the book of the Acts of the Apostles, friend, and let me tell you this, do it. And mark every time the word preaching is mentioned. And let me tell you, it's not one. There are many. Every time preaching. But what did they preach? Well, let's see. Open your Bibles in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Let's go walking through the word. If you turn to chapter 8, we read it tonight. In chapter 8, in the verse number 4, it said this. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching what? The word. The word. Turn to verse 25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Turn to chapter 11 and verse number 19, or rather verse number 19, yes. Now they that were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, here it is, preaching the word. Chapter 13, verse number 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God. Now, in chapter 15, verses 35, 36, you have it. In chapter 17, and verse 13, you have it. What did they do? They walked about preaching the word. Preaching the word. You see, friend, let's be honest. You say to me, but surely that's all the preachers could do. But the reality is that's not what's happening anymore. Do you know, there are many services, there's not a Bible open? That the preachers occupy the pulpits and they preach everything but the word.
Thank God the preacher with the word of God in his hand, he stands upon a solid foundation. He is the authority of heaven. Because you see, if he hasn't the word of God in his hand, then all he has to say is mere speculation. He entered the pulpit with a homily about current events or travel logs or book reviews or something else. In actual fact, I was reading this week. Couldn't believe it. A preacher told his congregation that during the week before, he had watched a cat gingerly walk on the top of a fenced wall embedded with sharp glass. And he said, that inspired me and inspired my message. A cat walking the top of a fenced wall. Nothing about sin that takes a man to hell. Nothing about God who has provided the way of salvation from hell. And friends, sadly it is today that many of the sermons are empty, they're light, they're superficial, they have nothing in them. There's no doctrinal content. And they're not delivered with fire or enthusiasm or zeal or expectancy. There's an interesting verse. Keep your hand in the Acts of the Apostles. Go with me just for a second to Jeremiah. Chapter 37. Jeremiah 37. And you'll notice it says in verse 17. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, now mark this, is there any word from the Lord? Because he knew that that's what he needed. He didn't need a word from the preacher, friend. He needed a word from God. He says, is there any word from the Lord? And what did Jeremiah say? There is. Read it. There is. And friend, tonight there is a word from God. And that's what people need to hear tonight. They need to hear a word from God. And that's what it says. Preach the word. Now the word preach means a proclamation to be a herald. To publish. There's a difference. The Bible says he went preaching and teaching. Teaching is somewhat different because the emphasis of teaching is to instruct, to set forth, or to train. And you teach the saints. You preach to the lost. You hurl forth the word of God or proclaim it, of course, not only to lost, to everyone. So why does it say to preach the word? Well, if we have time tonight, we don't. But the word of God, the Bible tells us, is seed. And so when the preacher goes out preaching the word, he's scattering seed. The word of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 126... The psalmist said, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Sowing the seed of the word of God, expecting God to bring the sheaves of souls in. That's only God can save them. But you and I, and the preacher in this pulpit, we have got to preach the word. Because the word of God is a seed. That's 1 Peter 1, verses 23, 25. The word of God is something else. The word of God's a hammer. The Bible says that it is as a hammer in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. A hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And a rock represents that which is unchangeable or unmovable. And the hammer crushes a rock. And as the word of God is preached, friend, do you know what God does? God takes the hammer of his word to a rebellious, hardened heart. And God smashes the hammer of his word, and he smashes the pride of that heart of sin, and he pierces and he breaks the yoke of sin. And though the ungodly may seem unmovable, I want to tell you God can move them, because he can break the rock in pieces. For God's word's a hammer. That word in Jeremiah also says not only is the word of God a hammer, but the word of God is a fire. It's a fire. And friend, you know what a fire does? A fire consumes and a fire purifies. And even human flesh cannot stand before the blazing heat of fire. You know what you do? You run from it. And the word of God purifies the heart of God's child. And as the ungodly man comes under the heat of the precious word of God, let me tell you, a fire can burn the place to ashes. And when an ungodly person sits under the word of God burns and leaves them in the ashes of their own condemnation and shows you that you're lost. The word's a fire. We're to preach it. The word of God also is a mirror. It tells us that in James chapter 1, 22, 24. And you look into a mirror, friend, what do you see? You see the reflection of yourself. And as the word of God is preached, friend, you know what the Holy Ghost does? The Holy Ghost gives the sinner a reflection of himself, and he sees his sin in the sight of a righteous and a holy God, and he realizes, I'm on my way to hell. And that's through the foolishness of preaching. Because the word of God's a mirror. The word of God is a sword. Hebrews chapter 4, 12. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And that's why people sit uncomfortable, you know, whenever the word of God is preached, a sinner can. And I pray, and I say this in love, friend. I pray earnestly that God would make the unconverted person uncomfortable now under the word of God that pierces your soul, lest you go to hell and you'll be uncomfortable forever in the fires of a lost eternity. May God take away your ease and comfort, because the sad reality is there's many people tonight and they're comfortable in their sin. And if they die tonight, they'll never know what rest is again. But they'll know the agony and the pain and the torment of a lost eternity. You preach the word. And I can tell you, friend, if we ever get away from it in this church, then God will write Ichabod over the door. Because we've got to preach the word. Secondly, quickly, turn to chapter 5 of the Acts of the Apostles. And in Acts of the Apostles chapter 5, if you look in verse number 42, it says this, and daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Turn to chapter 8 of the Acts. Look at verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Turn to chapter 9. Verse number 20, it says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Chapter 11, verse number 20. It says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. You have it in chapter 17, verse 3. You have it in chapter 19, and verse 3. They preached unto him Christ. And friend, we had a text of scripture on a little pulpit fall that we had in the first meeting house here. And it was this. We preach Christ and him crucified. Now why? Why Christ? Why Christ Jesus the Lord? Because all Scripture is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. You say, how do I know? Do you remember whenever they were walking the route to Emmaus and the disciples were sad and were brokenhearted because this man whom they trusted in was crucified and was put into a tomb, and their hearts were broken and they thought that he was dead, that he was buried, and that was the end. And the Lord Jesus came as those two disciples were walking along the road to Emmaus, and the Lord Jesus, it says, himself drew near and went with them. And then it says, in Moses and in the prophets and in all the Scriptures he spake unto them the things concerning, listen, himself. And so no matter where you go in the Word, friend, you'll find that Christ Jesus is the theme of the Scriptures. Charles Hudson Spurgeon tells a story of a famous preacher. His name was Bernard. And Bernard preached one day a most eloquent sermon. It charmed the hearers. And when he had finished, pronounced the benediction, it said, Spurgeon said that Bernard was observed to walk away troubled. He walked away out into the wilderness and he spent some time there alone fasting because of his sadness. The next day he came to preach again. And the next day when he came to preach, he stood up there in the pulpit and he delivered a commonplace discourse. And those great people that came and were so admiring his message the day before, friend, they were absolutely disgusted. But the ordinary people heard him, understood what he was saying. They didn't understand him the day before, and they drank it in. As Bernard was walking away from the crowd that day, he could hear in his ear the censure of the critics. Disappointed. That wasn't the sermon of yesterday. And yet they noticed, says Spurgeon, that Bernard walked away with a smile. And someone stopped the preacher and said to him, what's the reason of your happiness, Bernard? What's the reason of your contentment? This is what he said. He says, yesterday, I preached Bernard. Today, I preach Jesus Christ. And friend, that's the difference. Preach Christ. And you know why you preach Christ? Why do we uplift the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do we want to say, oh, we would see the Savior when we come into the house of God? That's why I want you to preach. And I want you to preach Christ. Why do we say that, friend? Because of who he is and what he does. Because Christ is the answer. Let me show you that very simply. The Bible tells us, you know, chapter 10, the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 10. Why do we preach Christ? Look at verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Friend, he's the only giver of peace. And you have come into this house of God tonight. And you're restless because you know that you haven't peace in your heart. And you realize you're facing God's eternity. And if God was to take you out tonight, and God could, you know there's something missing in your life, friend. I want to tell you, you may have money in the bank. You may have houses, may, and plenty. You may have work or business to satisfy you, but deep in your heart, you know, you haven't peace. You have neither the peace of God, because that comes only through Jesus Christ, nor do you have the peace of God. You're not at peace with God, because that's through Jesus Christ alone. Preaching peace through Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, Romans chapter 5 and 1, we have peace with God. How? What's the secret? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, that you'll not have peace in your heart until you know Jesus. I've got to preach Christ. We must uplift the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the only one. He's the only giver of true peace. All the world will say peace, peace, but there is no peace. But thank God there is peace in Christ. Look at chapter 10 again. Look at verse 42. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Remission of sins through Jesus Christ. Now the word remission is made up of two words. The word mission and the word remission. And the word mission means to send. Re means away. And friend, that's exactly what happens. The sending away of our sins. But that can only happen through Jesus Christ. It cannot happen with the waters of baptism. It cannot happen with confirmation. It cannot happen through the church. It cannot happen through ceremonies. There's only remission of sins through Jesus Christ. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Calvin said, this is the heart of the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Remission of sin. Our sins put away. Put away. Through Jesus Christ. Why? He bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Very quickly, look at chapter 13 of the Acts of the Apostles. Verse number 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, through Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Not only are your sins remitted, not only are they sent away, but praise God, your sins are forgiven. Forgiveness. Our sins are forgiven based on the work of God's Son. The Bible tells us that the Lord will cast our sins into the depths of the sea when He forgives us. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Friend, let me tell you, when God forgives your sin, He no longer holds them against us anymore. Oh, people are so quick, they want to throw it up in your face. And yet in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, thy sins and iniquities will I remember, says God, no more. So why do we preach Jesus Christ? Because He's the only giver of peace.
Why preach Jesus Christ? Because he's the only one who can remit our sins. Why preach Jesus Christ? Because he's the only one who can forgive us our sins, justified by faith alone in Christ alone. Preacher, preach Christ. Very quickly. Something else. Turn to chapter 14 now. What else did they preach? Chapter 14. Let's look at verse 15. Well, we'll start at verse 14. Which when the apostle Barnabas and Saul heard it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you do these things?" What things? Well, of course, at verse 13 it says, the priests of Juniper, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people because of what happened to the impotent man. And they're going to glorify man. And they're going to make sacrifices to them. And they had their garlands and they had their offerings. Sirs, why do you do these things? Verse 15. We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you. Here it is. That ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God. What did they preach? They preached the Word. What did they preach? They preached Jesus Christ. What did they preach? Repentance. That you should turn from these things. I know that repentance is not much talked about, friend. But I want to tell you, without repentance, you're not saved. Do you know that? You cannot be saved. The Lord Jesus said this. Except you repent, you'll perish. Is that straight enough? There are people tonight, and let me tell you, all they have is a profession. All they have is churchianity. All they have is a baptism. All they have is a bishop's hand. All they have is a preacher's touch. They're going to hell. Jesus says, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And yet there are many people holding big crusades, friend, and let me tell you this. And they're saying that so many came forward. Came forward for what? For what? They were told that all they had to do was to come up to the front. And you know all they could do? They could go back out into the world tomorrow and they can live like a devil tomorrow and it's all right, they're going to heaven. Friend, they're not one step nearer heaven. Because they've never told they had to repent of their sin. What is repentance? Repentance unto life is a saving grace that's wrought in the heart of a sinner by the Spirit and the Word of God, friend. Whereby that sinner grieves for and hates his sin. And he turns from it to God. That's what they're saying here. That ye should turn away from these vanities. Religious acts. Turn to the living God. Repentance, there's a change of mind. There's a change of attitude to sin. It produces a sorrow for and a hatred of sin, with a purpose to forsake it and to serve
God. For the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, if you are in Christ, listen, friend, you become a new creature. And the old things will pass away. And behold, all things shall become new. A change of mind, realization of sin. A change of emotion, regret and sorrow over sin. A change of will, a repudiation of sin. A forsaking of it and turning to God. What did they preach? They preached the word. That word is about Jesus Christ, the only Savior. And Jesus Christ, the only Savior, says, except you repent, you've got to turn from your sin. It's not writing your name on a little declaration card. My friend, it's a turning away from sin and turning alone to Christ as the only Savior. Because Jesus alone saves. Lastly, turn back to chapter 8 a moment. Chapter 8 says, and if you look at verse 25, when they testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Turn to chapter 14, verse number 7. And there they preached the gospel. What's the gospel? Well, Paul tells us the answer in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the summary of the gospel. And friend, let me tell you, if a preacher stands in the pulpit and claims to be preaching the gospel and doesn't take the sinner to the cross, he's not preaching the gospel. If a preacher stands in the pulpit and does not take a sinner to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the blood that atones for the soul, it is the blood that cleanses from our sins. And thank God keeps on cleansing from our sins. You see, if he's not doing that, he's not preaching the gospel. But I want to tell you, not only did Jesus Christ die, Jesus Christ was buried. And glory to God, on the third day Jesus rose again victorious over the tomb. That's the good news. The word gospel means good news. We sing the wee chorus sometimes. There's a Savior from all sin. If you only let him into your heart, he then will reign while you trust him. And 1 Corinthians 15 says, by which also, this gospel, by which also you're saved. See a text over the pulpit. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Do you know what Paul said to the Corinthian believers in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians? He says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. What did the Lord Jesus say to the disciples before he left them and went to heaven? He says, go ye into all the world and preach what? The gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Friend, that's what they preached in the Acts of the Apostles. And that's what God used through the foolishness of this preaching. Multitudes were saved. And I say to you tonight in this meeting, listen, there is no other Savior but Jesus. You miss Christ as your Savior, you'll miss heaven for all eternity. And if you miss heaven for all eternity, there's only one other place you'll be, friend. You'll not be in purgatory, you'll be in hell. And the fires of hell will burn forever. And friend, people love to think of heaven's a real place, and so it is. But let me tell you, hell's a real place. And precious souls around us are going there daily with no return. They preached the word. Please, God, help me to preach it. They preached Jesus Christ. God, help me to uplift them. Preach faithfully Jesus Christ. The only hope, the only Savior, the one who gives peace, the one who gives remission, the one who gives forgiveness, the one who is and gives us a resurrection from the dead, and thank God one day he'll take us home. They preached repentance. You've got to turn from your sin. And here's the good news. He's able to save. Will you come to him? Will you come to him, friend? Maybe you're thinking about tomorrow. Maybe your mind's set on some other things. And with this I finish. Spurgeon tells us that a woman was once very busy fetching out. Her house was on fire. And she'd got some wonderful furniture out of the antiques. And you know, whenever the fire started, she thought about her antiques and about they were worth a fortune. And so she ran and she did everything. She worked, it says, for hours, says Spurgeon, toiling hard to save her treasures. And then something happened. She remembered that one of her children were missing. And she ran around to the room to where her child was. But the room was in ashes. And her child was burnt to death. And what was she busy in? Saving the furniture. And her child was gone. There's some of you. And you're busy saving all the things of the earth, friend. And you've got a soul that's lost. In God's name, may God waken you up. I've a soul to be saved. May this truth be engraved on my heart and my mind while I'm young. Oh, how awful the cost if my soul should be lost and in hell. If I die as I am, die as I am, die as I am, all hope gone. Forever. If I die as I am, sinner in God's name, heed the clarion call of the gospel and come to Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word tonight. Thy word is truth, thy word's forever settled in heaven. Take it, write it. Upon all of our hearts, show us tonight that The most precious possession that we have, it's not a house, it's not a car, it's not the furniture, it's not our job, it's not our money. It's our precious soul. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, I beg you in God's name, listen tonight. The gospel invitation goes out and sinner, come. Come be saved. Forget about everything else. Forget about others. Forget about things. Turn from your sin tonight. And turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God you'll be saved. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to have that little verse of that hymn before we finish. Just as I am without one plea. Without apology, I say this to you, dear unsaved person. I'm singing it for you. Yes, it's for you. Will you come? O Lamb of God, come on, tell the Lord this tonight. Tell the Lord you're coming. Just as I am. And if there's someone tonight and you say, preacher, point me to Christ, as every head is bowed and eyes closed and we sing this prayerfully. Listen, dear unsaved person, dear backslidden person, if you mean business with God tonight, say, preacher, point me to Christ. Would you lift your hand as we sing this verse? O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Is there someone tonight and you've told that to the Lord? His heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. Have you told that to the Lord? Friend, I fear for you if you haven't. You're missing a gospel opportunity that may never come again. May God give you grace to come. I'll be in the minister's room. Come and speak to us. We'll gather around the Word of God. Show you the way of salvation. Lord, answer prayer tonight. For Jesus' sake, save the lost.